Well, key Arab countries, the UAE, Qatar and Saudi Arabia, were alongside the UK and the United States and others when they grouped together at the UN this week for that ceasefire call to try and push Israel and Hezbollah to agree a 21-day pause. The current position is the closest we've been to a regional war since 1973, the Saudi ambassador to the UK told Sky News last week. He is with us now in the studio, Prince Khalid bin Bandar Al Saud. Morning, Ambassador. Welcome.
Morning, Michelle.
You heard Jeremy Bowen's words there, that Israel essentially has had success in this military operation and it thinks this is the chance to change the status quo with Hezbollah, perhaps forever.
Well, I think forever is a long time. One has to really question that long-term strategy. It's simple to look at this as short-term tactics and the aims that they may be achieving. If you like, to simplify it, if you take a reservoir that the Israelis want to drain, they're draining it pretty well. The problem is the reservoir is filled from a source. And what the Israelis are doing currently is they're not just draining the reservoir, they're destroying everything around it. And in doing so, they're creating more sources for the reservoir. Sure, it might empty in the short term, but it'll refill.
You mean they're creating more hatred towards Israel?
Exactly. And if they want to solve the problem, the solution is simple. The simple solution is a Palestinian state and a solution to the Palestinian cause. Now, executing that is difficult. There's no question. It's not easy. But if they don't address the core problem, there will always be a problem.
The solution is a Palestinian state. How could Saudi Arabia be part of achieving a Palestinian state in a way that still makes Israel feel secure?
I mean, if we hit a direction towards a Palestinian state and we can bring, I don't know about this Israeli government, but an Israeli government to the table that commits to that, that changes the whole dynamic of what's happening on the ground. We forget we have been doing this and pushing for a Palestinian state very openly since 1981. That has not changed. Our position has not changed. Our aim has not changed. And we will do everything we can to get there.
You can't choose the makeup of an Israeli government, obviously. With this Israeli government, would you be prepared to talk to them again about the normalization of relations as you were very close to agreeing such a normalization before October the 7th?
Well, if we've been calling for a ceasefire, most importantly, we need to stop killing and destruction and you know, the despair that's being created. We need, a week ago, we were talking about a ceasefire in Gaza. Now we're talking about a ceasefire in Gaza and Lebanon. Where next? So for us, that is the immediate focus. If we get there and we get commitments to a Palestinian state, I don't see why we wouldn't talk to the Israeli government. But at the moment, instead of trying to normalize with its friends, it's normalizing violence and destruction and despicable behavior.
Well, that's why I asked if you'd still be prepared to have those talks on normalization because of the huge numbers of Palestinians who've been killed in this last year.
It would be foolish of us to think we can do that now.
So that prospect is also far away.
Unless there's a stop to the fighting and a real commitment. Everything we've heard from this Israeli government suggests that they're not interested in a Palestinian state, which if that is one of our core requirements, I don't see, just logic follows that there's not much to talk about.
But you were prepared, weren't you, when you had those talks on normalization before October the 7th last year, you were prepared to put that to some extent on the back burner, to do the normalization first and to leave a Palestinian state for the future.
Yes and no. So what our strategy was before, and this was unfortunately not well understood by many people, mainly because it was an ongoing discussion. We wanted to put across what Israel has to lose by not creating a Palestinian state. What comes with normalization? What are the benefits, not just to Israel, but to the region? And once that is on the table, then they can see what they gain by living up to the demands that we had, which was a solution to the Palestinian cause, which is a Palestinian state. So we reversed the negotiation, if you like, without starting with the state. Now, that was always our aim. We've said this consistently since 1981 that we don't see a solution without a Palestinian state.
Okay. Well, let's come back to the here and now, Lebanon, as well as Gaza and the West Bank, and particularly this aim of getting even a temporary ceasefire. We've been talking so far in terms of incentives and long-term aims, but there's also international pressure, isn't there, which could be applied. So the US, Israel's strongest ally, wants it to have a ceasefire with Hezbollah, but also agrees a new military aid package. Are they wrong to do that?
Well, look, the whole international community has failed. the fact that we're still, that things are escalating means everyone has failed. It's wrong to apportion blame on one or the other. All of us have failed, and perhaps some have more responsibility than others. But I've said this before on your show, I think the world has a blind spot to Israel. Israel does things that under no other circumstances any other country could get away with and still be considered normal. I can't explain why, it just is what it is. And I think, you know, there is a lot more scope for pressure from the United States. And, you know, after the whole world is in New York now, hopefully some of the discussions will lead to a situation where people can feel they can apply the right, correct and fair pressure on Israel. And it's just what we're looking for is fairness, not something unfair and unjust on Israel. Israel has a right to defend itself.
Well, your country has struck targets in Yemen, a war that has been terrible for civilians, for children, for ordinary life in every way.
All war is terrible. But there is no equivalence between what happened in Yemen and what's happening in Gaza, West Bank and Palestine. Lebanon.
Do you think that you could use your own power, for example, on oil? 1973, the Yom Kippur War that you mentioned in a recent interview was one that also involved an oil embargo. Have the days of that gone, or are you prepared to use the carrot as well, the stick as well as the carrot?
I mean, number one, the world has changed, and oil in the world has changed. So the ability to do that today is dramatically different. Number two, we never wanted to use oil ever as a weapon, but the situation in 73 was where we're hoping to avoid getting to. Now, if the world gets worse, I don't know what the reaction would be. We have to look at the world at the time, but at the moment, we're not there yet. But as I said, we are not far off where we were, and it doesn't bear thinking where we end up.
We're not there yet. Are you suggesting that oil could be part of Saudi Arabia's diplomatic leverage?
Everything could be part of Saudi Arabia's diplomatic leverage. There is, you know, we'll do the maximum that we can, but it depends on the situation. I don't think that the situation today warrants such a dramatic step, which is not only damaging to Israel and those who are supporting it, but the whole world, including Saudi Arabia.
So what are you waiting for? Thousands of Palestinians have died in the last year. Hundreds of Lebanese have died in the last 10 days.
It's not a question of simply, we're not going to behave the way Israel did by overreacting and doing something that is not useful to find a solution. Using oil as a weapon is not useful. It's not going to help us find a situation. It is something that can be done, but we're nowhere close to a scenario where oil is a weapon. We're doing everything we can diplomatically. We're applying pressure on our allies, our friends. We're applying pressure on people who are not our friends. But I think the world is unified.
Is that what you mean?
Everyone.
But explain what you mean, because Iran is obviously a key player in all of this as Hezbollah's main funder and backer.
Israel is not a friend of ours. We're trying to apply pressure on Israel. Whoever is out there, we are applying pressure on because we need a solution. If this expands, I mean, take all of the damage, the destruction, the despair, the killing that's been done thus far is inhumane by every measure. And it's not just the numbers, it's the time scale, it's the long-term effect. How do we get? We're taking a problem that's been around for 70 years and making it worse. Everything we can do to stop that effectively is what we will do. And we're taking every measure within our power. But going extreme, that's what Israel has done. And we will not go extreme unless we have to. And at the moment, we don't have to go extreme because the extreme doesn't benefit anyone.
Would Saudi Arabia be prepared to help rebuild Gaza?
Absolutely.
To fund that.
As part of a Palestinian state, I don't see why we wouldn't. But we're not prepared to rebuild Gaza just so Israel can destroy it again one day in the future.
And would you be prepared, because the future governance of Gaza will also be a key debate in all of this, would you be prepared to be involved in a peacekeeping force or anything that Israel might want as part of its future security?
Look, I think that if we were dealing with a Palestinian state that asked us to help them, that's one thing. But to go into, to be expected by Israel or anyone else to fight other Arabs and Muslims in order to defend Israel, that's a much more complicated scenario for us. I'm not sure we'd be prepared to do that. But we'd be happy to work alongside a Palestinian state to do whatever they needed. But we're not even close to that, sadly. Yeah. If we get there, we'll discuss it.
The prospect of even a path to that is so far away at the moment. Let's say that you got what the immediate call is, a 21-day ceasefire. Doesn't that basically settle into exactly the pattern that we've seen before? How do you get anywhere beyond that temporary ceasefire into something resembling the world that you're hoping for?
Hard work. We have to convince not just the Israeli government, which I think is a very difficult prospect, but the Israeli people that the path to a secure future for the state of Israel is to resolve the actual problem, not to create a new one.
Ambassador Khaled bin Bandar Al Saud, thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
25 past eight is the time. A year exactly from the day the Sycamore Gap tree was felled, the National Trust is offering us all the chance to request saplings.